Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Happy Monday, everybody. I'm Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. With me in the studio, Amy Anderson, Production Coordinator. Hi, Amy. And Adam Kunz, Head of Trading, Portfolio Management. Adam, happy Monday.
Here.
So this weekend, I rented a chipper. I couldn't help but think of that movie Fargo. It just was grinding
Don't
up.
You worry us.
Oh, my goodness. I am so sore. 2 days of grinding up trees and limbs and stuff like that. But one of my life goals is to rent every piece of equipment that a man can.
How far in that are you?
I'm
three.
No, I'm pretty deep in it. Okay. But do you know you can rent a street cleaner? My neighbor actually rented a street cleaner. It was cleaning our streets. I was like, amazing. Man, you are my hero. Okay, but away from all that, we have a lot to cover. Market related. So want to cover a few things with you. One is a context for rising interest rates that we expect potentially through the end of the year. What's going on in the equity market, a couple specific issues related to AT&T and Apple, and then also just general asset allocation as it relates to our portfolio models and just the, especially as it relates to international exposure and the recovery in Europe. So with that, where do you want to start?
Start with equities. I mean,
go ahead.
We're wrapping up earnings season. So we've got 90% of the companies in the S&P 500 have reported, and 85% of those have been above revenue and earnings expectations. So pretty good quarter. And where we're seeing those expectations going forward continuing to rise with the just overall economic improvement. We did get Home Depot and Lowe's last week, which I was really looking forward to just to see how all this inflation talk has passed through to the consumer. And really what you saw was, average ticket was up 10%. With that inflation kind of being priced in, but obviously it didn't slow the consumer down there.
No, and we have an overweight, and we own both stocks, we've overweighted Lowe's. We shifted from Home Depot to Lowe's in our large cap blend strategy. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
So we're going to hold on to that.
I don't know. I think we can talk about it.
Maybe. Okay.
but overall, yeah. I mean, like I said, the earnings season has been pretty good, but we've seen some volatility pick up, and that's a big story. Over the last week is that the VIX has continued to rise above 20. The NASDAQ had 4 negative days last week, and you're seeing the movement of both up and down begin to increase. And you're really seeing some of the gains in certain pockets of the market begin to dwindle, one of which I'm watching pretty closely is our small caps. So now on a 3-month basis are negative 2%. Now, granted, year-to-date is still up, 13%, but you're starting to see some of these different pockets start to give up their gains. Emerging markets, another that is down 3.5% over the last 3 months. So you're seeing just kind of a shift away from the higher volatility, risky sort of pockets. And the S&P 500 is still up. The equal weight S&P is still up. So that is actually outperforming both the S&P and small caps significantly. It's up 18% year to date. So
that's, yeah. Well, and it's working. It is. At some point, though, we will see a shift.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything near term. In that large cap tech space, Apple is in the headlines now with this apparently 30% to your on your app store for a charge is a little too high.
Apparently.
So what impact, if they have to back off, what do you think that the impact on earnings and stock valuation is going to be?
Honestly, it's noise. I mean, it's going to have an impact, but and this is where we've seen some growth is in that service part of their business. But, the beats and the significant revenue really comes still from hardware. And the massive beat this last quarter was predominantly iPhone sales. And so anything about what you purchase or how you purchase something on the App Store is really going to be a pretty small difference to the top line.
And then on the whole AT&T and the the jettison the media business and the joint venture with Discovery. What, as you looked at it this last week, you had a chance to analyze the stock. What's the impact long term on stock valuation? Does it really address the debt issue that the company has? And
so I would say it looks like it's going to help mitigate the debt issue. The problem I have from just AT&T in general is it's really just going to turn it back into the old stodgy telco stock that really has no growth drivers at all. Mm. So from a valuation standpoint, it doesn't look particularly attractive to me.
Hmm. So we got a couple things to talk about too. One is the case for rising interest rates, and then you talked about emerging markets and it trading off. I want to talk a little bit about that as it relates to our portfolio models. But let's dig into where we are right now with interest rates and go back to 2016. The last time that the Fed really said, hey, we're going to normalize our monetary policy. So remember, over the last year since March, the Fed pushed aggressive monetary policies by dropping short-term interest rates down to zero and restarting its bond purchase program. This was all following the financial crisis in 2008. So it really was 2016 that they started to move rates higher. So it took that long after the financial crisis. And it took 2 years, and there was small 25 basis point increments in short-term interest rates rising. And then it really took the Fed funds rate up to a little bit like 2%, 2.25%, something like that. During that period of time, the yield on the 10-year moved from about 1.5 to a 3.20. So it was a big move over that 2-year period of time. Over that same period of time, the S&P 500 moved from basically 2,200 up to roughly 3,000 before it fell back to 2,400. So over a 2-year period of time, I mean, very flat returns when you go point to point, that was not impressive. So that was a period where inflation, the Fed was struggling to get inflation through the system. Remember that was...
I do.
So now we have the same kind of circumstances where the Fed wants to take one step towards normalizing. It's going to be a long, long process, but I'm going to make the argument that the yield on the 10-year at 160 does not discount the moves that are about to take place starting in the second half of the year. And I think that the market seems to be focused, or the media, the financial press is focused on inflation. And I think the real story is the normalization of Fed policy. I think it has less to do with inflation, and it has more to do with the Fed just starting to push rates higher. So I think we're going to build a case for what potentially is going to be higher rates, and it's going to be a challenge, I think, for risk assets, and especially with the valuations we're seeing right now in equities, it's going to be a challenge for expected returns. So what would you say to that, Adam?
I mean, obviously, the last few months when we talked about what rates are going to do, I've held that inflation would not be the catalyst for rates going higher. But yeah, that did not contemplate a shift in monetary policy. So yeah, I agree. I think that everyone's looking at the inflation number, but if you start to see a shift in monetary policy, absolutely. I think that's going to put pressure on rates.
And here's the other thing too, is that Treasury Secretary Larry Sumner's has been very critical, and there's this group. I think it's a growing group of criticism of the Fed that's providing too much stimulus to an economy that's already rebounding. The Fed has said, we want to see full employment. I don't think we're going to see what we had prior to the pandemic, but by the fourth quarter, we're going to see a massive shift in employment with the travel and entertainment space opening up. It's going to be in that direction. We're going to see the growth the Fed's going to be faced with. So I think the criticism that Larry Sumner is providing is going to give cover to the Fed to make these kind of moves too. So I think the table is set, and I don't think the market is prepared for it. So with that, let's talk about emerging markets.
So emerging markets, obviously, you've got to wrap China into that because it's in the index. But just in-house here, we kind of view that separately. But emerging markets have really given up a lot of ground. And a big piece of that is that Chinese technology play. I mean, we've seen ticker KWEB is the Chinese internet ETF that we use. It's down on the last 3 months, 25%.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you've seen companies like Alibaba specifically, but Tencent and JD all fall with, you know, some of this crackdown on regulations and how different segments of their business are going to be regulated or can even operate at all on their own.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the consequences, either intended or unintended, I'm not judging, but consequences of our foreign policy in the last 5 years has been it really has pushed China and Russia closer.
Yeah.
So as China goes, I just wonder how much of a market Russia will be to China for its internet
right
type plays and it's so in China, the way that authoritarian capitalism works is when you look at their network of trading partners, which would include Russia, Iran, Pakistan, Mexico, you know, go down the list, right? It's they're going to have a market. And so I think I'm actually more interested in China because of their expanding form of capitalism around the globe. And whether it is part of Western capitalism or competes against it, I don't know. I think it's just going to grow.
I completely agree. I mean, I think I make the joke sometimes that they're going to own North Africa within the next 10 years, and I stand behind that.
Yeah, and they play by a whole different set of rules. But in terms of where how these the potential for these companies to grow globally, I think is going to be really, really powerful. So in terms of our models, we've got a split between developed and emerging. Emerging tends to be roughly half the size of our developing exposure. We've seen a recovery in Europe. It's starting. We're seeing traction. I think the number of vaccinated that I saw between March and April was pretty significant for the EU. So the number of first shots.
Yeah.
So I think it's a third of the adult population has one shot now. So I think we're getting close, especially ahead of the summer tourism season, where they actually could start to really think about what it looks like to open up. Now, you have to take the UK off to the side. It's not part of it anymore. But it looks like it is a better growth prospect than it did in January.
Yeah.
So we'll look at our weightings in both developed and emerging market relative to US. We may have to actually look at a shift because the potential, you know, you search the world over, is the US the best potential for investments? I think we have to really take a hard look at that all the time. And in the last decade, the answer is actually the last two decades, the answer has been yes.
Yeah.
Now, over the next decade, let's take a look. So anything that you have for the good of our listeners? That's it today then, huh? All right. Thank you all for listening.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.